offering a most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Sai Prakash. We're still in the second discourse of the 1991 Summer Course series. Very, very beautiful discourse. Of course, every discourse of Swami is beautiful, profound, and beyond words of description. But this one is beautiful for its own reasons. As we have gone through in the past 2 or 3 weeks, we've seen how beautifully Swami is kind of giving a historical description of how man has come to understand nature, how man has come to explore divinity. And it's a wonderful journey. I think we'll try to resist the temptation of going through an elaborate introduction, because it's wonderful. The flow of that discourse is so alluring. But before we dwell into even a brief introduction, I'll invite Sai Prakash to join us. Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem, as you rightly pointed out, yes, it kind of deals with, in a way, two strands of evolution. On the one hand, you have how man has wandered, and, you know, it's scientific and philosophical at the same time. Because I think, as Swami is narrating, even the earliest scientists were sages. So when they started exploring the creation, when they started exploring, Swami gives a very beautiful review of how man started looking at nature and trying to understand things from nature, and how he started giving names to various aspects of divinity. And I like the sentence where Swami says, slowly man's intelligence grew, and then he realized that he can really not comprehend God.
Right.
So the one of the ultimate names that he has given to God is Aprameya. So he starts with Shiva, Ishvara, where he is attributing attributes. He is attributing attributes to the Lord,
right,
and giving him appropriate names. But then, as his intelligence grows, he realizes that no, he is beyond this. So that part of the evolution that Swami has brought about. And then, you know, to look at this discourse, it has such diverse topics. Such diverse topics. It's not just, it's not going in one stream. And it's really amazing, as you rightly said, how Swami is bringing in all the aspects of numerology, of scientific exploration, of astrology, of medicine, as we will see in the rest of the discourse. It's really amazing.
Right. In fact, that particular point where you're saying that Swami describes that how man's intellect actually blossomed here.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, Swami makes that point where he speaks about Isha. You know? At
Correct.
That point, Swami says that this is where you can understand the sublime nature of the intellect of the sages of those days.
Yes.
It's very interesting to see, because, you know, till this point, at least, when man looks at sun and starts worshipping the sun or starts worshipping fire, we spoke of how it is almost like an extension of man's fear. You know, whatever he is scared of, he believes that it's a power greater than him, and kind of worships that power, you know, be it the forces of nature or, as we said, sun or the fire. But at this point, Swami says, you know, he gives this name Isha. The early man gives this name Isha to the Lord, and Swami says, this word Isha represents prosperity, wealth, fame, beauty, knowledge.
Right.
And Swami says at this point his intellect becomes sublime. And if you see, you know, probably this is a point where man comes to the understanding it's not necessary to be scared of this divinity, because it expresses itself in all the beautiful things in life.
Correct.
When you say that beauty is divine, you transcend that stage where you are scared of divinity.
Correct.
You kind of start having a beautiful relationship with that Lord, and this is the point Swami says that the sublime understanding of man blossoms. And of course, after that, Aprameya, as you said, you know, when he gives it up and he says that the Lord is beyond all my forms of understanding.
You know, drawing a wild analogy, it's also not out of place to compare how the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, you know, there is a punishing God, and there is a God who instills fear in you. But then there comes the God who is all love.
Right.
And that kind of evolution is seen here also. Like right. You start from awe and from fear. From fear it goes to awe. And then from awe then you start loving him. Mm. I think that's how it is.
And then of course Swami speaks about how after giving this name Aprameya, saying that he cannot be understood, still there is that persistence to know, and then the sages do succeed. You know, it's not like it cannot be understood. It can be understood eventually. Just reminded of what Ruchisar shared, our lecturer from the Vrindavan campus.
Mm-hmm.
I think last year or something during the Sai Sanidhi program.
Yes, yes.
He was narrating a very beautiful incident where Swami comes up to him and asks him, "Hey, Ruchir, tell me, what is the distance between you and Swami?" And he looks at Swami and he's wondering, you know, is this a philosophical question or is this a direct question? Am I supposed to answer in meters or should I say, "Swami, I don't know how many more births are there between you and me," or you know, something like that. He is totally lost.
Mm.
Swami very beautifully in one sentence gave an answer which probably falls in all these categories.
Yes.
He said, "The distance between you and me is the distance between me and you."
Me and you.
And then he says, you know, "The distance between you and God is the distance you believe there is."
Correct.
And that's what, you know, Swami says here. You know, first of all, you know, believe that it can be achieved. And I was just seeing, you know, at this point, Swami actually starts talking about taking that exploration to the next level. What all are the things you need to do that, you know? First,
in fact, it's labeled, this section is labeled peak of human
peak
intellect.
Peak of human intellect.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate state.
Right. And if you look at it, you know, the way Swami has put it, first thing is, as we said, it can be achieved. You know, the moment if you start saying that there is a distance, then there is a distance. Swami says, first of all, believe that it can be achieved.
Correct.
And then Swami says, do it now. Don't wait for some future time. Swami says, you know, quotes that line, Uttishta Jagrata. Do it now. And then Swami says, the requisite is giving up tamas. And then, you know, Swami explains in the later part very beautifully that what it means to give up tamas is going beyond the animal nature.
Correct.
Going beyond that state where, you know, you just live like an animal. Enjoy what comes your way and be scared of what is unknown to you. Swami says, when you go beyond tamas, then the discrimination starts blossoming.
Yes.
And then Swami says, what is the problem when the discrimination starts blossoming? Desires go up.
Rajas.
And desires go up and that leads to rajas taking the first place. And then Swami says, let go of rajas. That is, start sublimating your desire. And turn your desire towards higher things. And this process can be done only with sattva. Swami says, you know, you give up tamas, let go of rajas, and use sattva, which is the only tool, only divine tool.
Correct.
And then in the later part, Swami says, you know, how do you finally approach? He says, through humility, through shraddha. Through devotion. And then God reveals himself. You know, that's the beautiful part. He says, that last mile is, and Swami says, you know, you take one step, I'm going to take the rest of it, 10 steps, 100 steps, whatever it is. So that's what it is. Swami says that, you know, after you've done this much, and then you offer humility and shraddha, and then the Lord reveals. And this also, you know, beautifully explains what you were referring to, the Old Testament and New Testament. You know, when the first few is actually about pushing yourself up and about discipline, about right and wrong. But towards the end, it comes to, you know, having love, having shraddha, having humility.
Yeah, there is this beautiful evolution of this thing. And as you rightly said, it can be done. It has been done. And start. You can do it
now.
Then the next topic is, where is God? And so he says, gives the example of Brahmarpanam Brahmavir, and he says, "Aham Vaishvanara Budhva," I am there in each one of you. So I am that digestive force, that power of Vaishvanara who is there in each one of you. And then he says, "Do not doubt this." Do not doubt this. Start with that faith. That once you have that faith, everything clicks for you. It automatically doors open for you. So that is the beautiful part, and here there are very beautiful points where he says a person pretending to sleep can never be woken up. And what about God who never sleeps? You can never. So, you know, in a way it says that yes, there is an understanding you have about what you are capable of doing and what people around you are capable of doing, but believe that there is a force, there is a power much superior to what you can comprehend, and that is God. And there are His ways are definitely beyond what you can comprehend. Have faith in that.
Many times when I look at this story, we've heard it so many times of Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu. You know, Swami would very often make that reference. Hiranyakashipu was a great scientist.
Yes.
If you look at it, of course, it's a tiff between a devotee and a non-devotee, or an asura and somebody who's pious. But if you look at it from the context of the discourse we are seeing, mm-hmm. you know, here is Hiranyakashipu who has achieved a lot.
Yes.
I mean, he's like the scientist of the modern day.
Correct.
Who, you know, who has achieved enough to start believing that I can do everything on my own.
Right.
There is no power beyond me. Because if you go by Bhagavatam, he starts telling his subjects, you know, you start worshipping me now.
Correct.
And because I have attained the state where I can create, I can achieve things which nobody can achieve. Mm. Start praying to me. Mm. And, you know, in that house, here comes Prahlada, who is kind of, you know, baffling him. He doesn't know what to do with him. He throws off the cliff he saved. Into water he is not drowning, and fire is not burning him. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge for the scientific mind. He's saying that, that nothing works with this boy.
No, it's so beautiful because a small child, a small child with the Lord's name.
Exactly, and there is no intellectual ability in that boy.
Exactly, can overcome and conquer all the same five elements you have conquered.
Right.
You have conquered it with your intelligence and with your ability.
And he keeps saying that it's my Lord Narayana who is doing. You know, really, it's a clash between, you know, the scientific mind and a devoted mind.
Very true.
And where finally you see that. That's all it requires, you know.
And just so finally, so what? You know, you are, you know, without humility, if you approach the exploration of nature and try to base it purely on your intellectual abilities, and you have discovered, but are you happy? Are you a happy person? Finally, at the end of the day, have you realized the purpose of your life?
Very true. I mean, we don't give enough value to the idea of that purpose of life. You know,
right.
Like I was talking to somebody, you know, when it came up in this discussion, why is it that when we have a problem, you know, before asking how do I solve this problem, we ask why. You know, why am I having this problem? Why me? You know, especially people who have been good and, you know, I have not harmed anybody. Why is it happening to me? We don't realize, but actually speaking, purpose gives so much solace. You know, when, let's say you're undergoing some trauma in life, and you have a dream of Swami, or Swami comes and tells you, you know what, you had done something in your past and this is why it is. It doesn't change any situation. But knowing that there is a purpose behind what I'm undergoing gives so much solace. And I think many times, that is what is that emptiness you see in an intellectual life, or, you know, that dryness which we say when we speak about intellectualism. I think that's what it is.
You know, I was listening to an interesting debate. You know, slightly tangential from this point, but it all adds up to this. You know, they say sometime in the future, when most of our jobs will be gone, and will be done by machines, by robots. I mean, agriculture has already been done by lot of automated work happens.
Right.
And then what will man do? Like, if your jobs are taken care, there is enough production, there is enough economic growth, and you don't have to do anything. And this has been a topic of in consideration, and there are people who have written scientific science fictions, and there are people who have predicted that eventually man will go back only to motivational thinking.
Right.
He will go back to a higher level of outlook. He will start wondering about what is the purpose of his life. You know, it's completing a circle. It's coming the other way around. You know, our ancients had the perfect wisdom to balance out both the things. But now, due to excessive technology and due to everything excessive, you come back to the same conclusion. Man has nothing to do. I mean, if I'm sitting at home and I'm having three machines doing my work and they are doing it more efficiently than I can do, why would I do it? But the machines can't explain to me what the purpose of my life is, that I have to do it myself.
Right, absolutely. I think hopefully boredom at least does it to us.
That's true.
I mean, listening to Swami, probably we did not start the quest. Mm. You know, we have nothing to do and we're bored. Mm. You know, I think that's the sad part. You know, we try to find new things to, you know, keep filling our lives. And somebody was saying that in the past, you know, when everything was manual, you know, mm. manual labor took so much time of our day, mm-hmm. you know, be it wood cutting or be it working in the fields or mm-hmm. driving a bullock cart. Mm. All of that kept your body fit.
Yeah.
Now what you've done, everything is automated. You have so much time. Mm. So to keep yourself fit, you've mm. created, you know, something like a gym and you mm. go there. And what work you would have done otherwise, you go and do it.
Pay money and get it done.
Mind. And, you know, that's exactly what's happening even in some of these countries where the dependence on education is so much on computers. Mm. They have something called a mental gym, you know, where they go there and you're given sums and you're given, after a certain age, about 30 or something, they find that the risk of diseases like Alzheimer's are very high. Mm. So you need mental gyms where you go and you're given problems, you're given arithmetics, you study it, you try to solve it. And it's becoming like that.
No, when we say peak of intelligence and when we say this is the pinnacle of human achievement, it really makes sense in looking at it in another way. You know, if we were half a century back, you want to give a very, informative speech about some topic, you'll have to go through volumes of encyclopedia, you'll have to read a lot, you'll have to... Today, we just type it on Google and you get the same knowledge out. It has been made so simple for you. But then what is it that has not been explored? What is it that, you know, nothing can do except yourself? I think that inward journey is inevitable.
And I think in many ways, you know, the idea of just having knowledge or having the data mm-hmm. has become more, we are seeing that it's when it becomes so easy to achieve, we are seeing that it lose value.
Okay.
I think in the past, as you're saying, 50 years ago, mm. a knowledgeable person could probably live his entire life thinking that he's knowledgeable.
Right.
You know, today, I think everybody is so well informed
yes.
that data is actually losing its value.
Correct.
And as you're saying, that all of these is tending towards peaking out and, you know, a point where it's going to reach saturation.
Yeah, once it reaches a saturation, then what? That's why, you know, as I was reading this discourse, I'm not sure if we have already crossed that mark or it's yet to come. He said, the most adventurous sages, see, they were the most adventurous ones, because why? They pursued something which is beyond, you know, which is most challenging.
Right.
Only that is worth pursuing and going after.
In fact, it reminds me of, you must have read Jonathan Siegel.
Yes, very much.
It's very similar to this, you know.
Right.
There is this bird which, you know, somewhere deep in its heart, it believes that it can be achieved a certain, right. I think, height and flight.
Height and right? flight of...
And finally it achieves it and then it realizes that there are some higher seagulls and communes with them and comes back. Mm. And when it comes back and nobody's ready to listen.
Right.
So then when it starts kind of showing off its abilities, then they say, oh, you're so great. So he says, okay, if this is the way you're going to listen to me, fine.
Mm.
No, and many ways, if you see, that is what we call, you know, miracles and what these sages start expressing, omniscience and the ability to, you know, curse somebody into dust and all that. Mm. And now you start listening, okay, this guy's got something more than I have, so let's listen.
It's very interesting because I'm just trying to see, is this God's plan? Like, okay, the sages have been telling us the same thing over years and years and centuries. Oh, these are after all sages. Now the same thing is told by a scientist. He comes and says, you know, consciousness exists. Okay, what's the big deal? But, oh, he's a scientist, you know, and he's saying consciousness exists. So, you know, suddenly this is yet another strategy used by the divine, I suppose.
Right. So I think, shall we move ahead in that discourse?
Yes.
We've played about... We've played 5 clips, so this is the 6th clip in that discourse.
Kanuka manavudu kevalam oka pasuvale mottamottu srishti ayi
man in the process of evolution
was an animal in the first place. Aharam itra maidraadulto. He was having a life. Kramakramena perigi. He gradually vicharana shakti kaligi. He developed thinking. Vishwanni srishtinchukoni. He created world. Anukoolamainatuvanti samayalanu puraskarinchukoni. Depending upon the time. Kramakramena bhoga bhagyamulanu anubhavinchetuvanti reetulanu kuda nuvvu kanipettu vachadu. He began discovering things which can give him some comforts and joy. Anni kanipettadu kani manavudu. He had discovered all things. కట్టకటపటికి జనన మరణములకు కారణం ఏమిటి అనేటువంటి విషయాన్ని కనిపెట్టడానికి కేవలము వాడు వెనుకంజ వేశాడు. But he felt short of finding out what is the reason for birth and death. దీని రహస్యం ఏమిటి? What is the secret behind this? జాతస్య మరణం ధ్రువం. పుట్టినవాడు చావక తప్పదు. ఎవరి వన్ దట్ ఇస్ బోర్న్ మస్ట్ డై. కానీ చచ్చిన వాడు పుడతాడో లేదో మనకు తెలియదు. But the man who dies is going to be born or not. ఇన్నిటి యొక్క రహస్యం ఏమిటి అని దాన్ని కూడా తెలుసుకోవడానికి ప్రయత్నం చేశారు మహర్షులు. మహర్షి ఇస్ మేడ్ ఎ ఫస్ట్ టు ఫైండ్ అవుట్ ద సీక్రెట్ బిహైండ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్. ఇది కేవలము మానవాతీతమైనది అన్నాడు. హీ సెడ్ దట్ దిస్ ట్రాన్సెండ్స్ హ్యూమన్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్. కనుకనే ఇది భగవత్ యొక్క సంకల్పం చేత జరిగేటువంటిది కానీ అన్య మానవుల యొక్క ప్రయత్నంతో జరిగేటువంటిది కాదనుకున్నారు. Birth and death happen by the will of God, not by man's efforts. జీవించాలి అనుకుంటే కేవలం ఎంతకాలమైనా జీవించగలుగుతున్నాడా? If man wants to live, can he live for any length of time? నాకేమీ రోగం లేదు, నేను బాగా చక్కగా ఆరోగ్యంగా ఉంటున్నాను, ఇంకా నేను ఒక 10 సంవత్సరాలు ఉండగలను అని అనుకోవచ్చును. రాత్రి పోతుంటే కార్ యాక్సిడెంట్ అయిపోయి చచ్చిపోవచ్చును. దీనికి ఆరోగ్యం ముఖ్యము. Man may think that I am having perfect health, I will live 10 more years. But night he may die in a car accident. కనుక మరణమునకు ఏది కారణము? For death, what is responsible? మన ఆరోగ్యం కాదు. Not health. మన శక్తి సామర్థ్యములు కాదు. Not our power. మన ధన కనక వస్తు వాహనాదులు కాదు. Not our wealth, property. కానీ కాదు. Not at all. దైవానుగ్రహమే దీనికి మూల కారణం. It is the grace of God and that alone. మానవుని ప్రయత్నం కాకుండా కూడా నువ్వు జరిగేటువంటి అనేకంగా జరుగుతూ ఉన్నాయి. Without man's efforts, a number of things take place. మానవుని యొక్క గుండె కొట్టుకోవడానికి మానవుడు ఏ ప్రయత్నం చేస్తున్నాడు? What effort man is putting forward for the heartbeats? మానవుడు ఉచ్ఛ్వాస విశ్వాసం వదలడానికి ఏ ప్రయత్నం చేస్తున్నాడు? Without what efforts is man carrying on? మానవుని యొక్క దేహం లోపల సర్క్యులేషన్ అనగా బ్లడ్ సర్క్యులేషన్ జరగడానికి ఏ ప్రయత్నం చేస్తున్నాడు? వాట్ ఎవర్స్ మ్యాన్ ఈస్ మేకింగ్ ఫర్ ది సర్క్యులేషన్. ఇవంతా ప్రయత్నంతో జరిగేటువంటివి కాదు. ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ డు నాట్ హ్యాపెన్. ఇది కేవలం దైవ సంకల్పంతో జరిగేటువంటివి. ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ హ్యాపెన్ బై ది విల్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. కనుకనే దైవ సంకల్పములకు మించినటువంటిది మరొకటి లేదు అని నిర్ణయం చేసుకున్నారు. ఈ ఫార్ములీ బిలీవ్ దట్ దేర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ గ్రేటర్ దాన్ గాడ్స్ విల్. ఓ మానవుడా, శతవర్షముల దాకా మితము చెప్పింది కాని నమ్మరాదా మాట నిమ్మనము. ఓ మ్యాన్, పీపుల్ సే దట్ వన్ లివ్స్ ఫర్ 100 ఇయర్స్. డు నాట్ బిలీవ్ సచ్ ఎ స్టేట్. బాల్యమందు లేక ప్రాయమందు లేక ముదిమియందు లేక ముసలియందు ఎప్పుడూ విడిచేది ఎరుకలేదు. చైల్డ్హుడ్ బాయ్ యూత్ ఆర్ ఓల్డ్ ఏజ్, వెన్ వన్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టు డై నో వన్. ఊరును అడవిను ముదక మధ్యమును ఎప్పుడూ విడిచేది ఎరుకలేదు. ద విలేజ్ ఫారెస్ట్ అండ్ ద మిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ వాటర్, where one is going to die, no one knows. ప్రాణం ఉన్నంతలో తన్ను తెలియవలేము. మనం తెలుసుకోవాల్సింది మన ప్రాణం ఉన్నంత లోపలి భగవంతుని తెలుసుకోవాలి. వాట్ ఎవర్ వీ హావ్ టు నో అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ నోయింగ్ గాడ్, వీ హావ్ టు డూ. ఎప్పుడో ఏమో అనేటువంటి ఒక విషయాన్ని నీవు ఏమాత్రం కూడా పోస్ట్పోన్ చేయదు. డూ నాట్ పోస్ట్పోన్ సచ్ థింగ్స్ టు ది ఫ్యూచర్. దీన్ని క్యాన్సిల్ చేయడానికి ఎవరికి వీలు కాదు. నో వన్ కెన్ క్యాన్సిల్ డెత్. ఇది కేవలం దైవానుగ్రహంతో జరిగేటువంటిది. ఇట్ హ్యాపెన్స్ బై ది విల్ అండ్ గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. కనుకనే దైవాన్ని నీవు ప్రార్థించమని బోధిస్తూ వచ్చారు మహర్షులు. మహర్షి దేర్ ఫార్ అడ్వైస్, ప్రే టు గాడ్. ఈ ప్రాణం కూడా ఎక్కడ ఉంటుందాది? వేర్ ఇస్ దిస్ లైఫ్ ఇన్ మ్యాన్? నీల తోయల మధ్యస్థ విద్యుల్ లేకే ఉపాసుర నీవార సుఖవర్తంతే అని వేదంలో చెప్పుకుంటూ వచ్చింది. నీల తోయల మధ్యస్థ విద్యుల్ లేకే ఉపాసుర. వెనక వైపున మనకు 33 రింగులతో కూడినటువంటి స్పైనల్ కాలం ఉంటుందండి.
వీ హ్యావ్ ఎ స్పైనల్ కాలం విత్ 33 రింగ్స్.
దానితో నీలతో ఇది మధ్యస్థ విద్యుల్ లేకే ఉపాసుర బిట్వీన్ 9 to 12.
దేర్ ఈస్ దిస్ లైట్నింగ్ ఫ్లాష్ బిట్వీన్ 9th and 12th రింగ్స్.
దీనికి మధ్య లోపలే సుషుమ్నానాడి అని ఉంటుంది.
there is the Sushumna nadi nerve between this
ane vidyuleke ubhasura vidyuleke vale untundi lightning vale kalutundade
that moves as fast as lightning between these two these
ane aa lightning ga kottinappude anta deham anta kuda nu function chestundadi
the entire body functions because of the movement of this
sushumna anukuntaru mana pranam anta gundelo untundadi aatlo untundadi antaru
some people think life exists in human heart
ade heart anedi kevalam main switch
the heart can be compared to a main switch
kani pranam akkada ledu
but life is not
heart tc inkoka heart ni marchi doctor emem chestunnare appudu ekkada pothundi ee pranam
they are removing heart and transplanting heart how can they do it if life exists only in heart
kevalam oka main switch ni marustunnaru
they are only changing the main switches
kani akkada spinal column lo neela thoyada madhyastha vidyul leke adani yokka prabhavam chetane ee heart kudunu pani chestuntundadi
heart also functions because of the functioning of the sushumna nadi
kanukuni aanati veda purushulanta kudunu edo emi teliyatundi murkulu gaanu variki ee maatramu gnanam ledetundi gaanu science teliyatundi amayakulu gaanu భావిస్తూ వస్తున్నారు ఈనాటి సైన్స్ తెలిసిన దానికంటే మరింత అధికంగానే చదువుకున్నటువంటి వారు వారు
దోస్ గ్రేట్ సేజెస్ అండ్ సీయర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ఏన్షియంట్ డేస్ న్యూ మచ్ మోర్ దాన్ ఆల్ దట్ ఈస్ నోన్ బై ది సైంటిస్ట్ టుడే
ఆనాటి సైంటిస్ట్ మహా గొప్పవాడు ఎవరు హిరణ్యకశిపుడు పంచభూతాల్లో కూడా హస్తగతం చేసుకున్నాడు ఆ సైంటిస్ట్ పొందినటువంటి దాంట్లో వెయ్యింటి ఒక భాగం కూడా ఈనాటి సైంటిస్టులు పొందలేదు
The great scientist Hiranyakasipu mastered all the five elements and knew everything. The scientist of today does not know.
తెలుసుకున్నటువంటి వాడు ఎక్కడ సముద్రం అడుగు భాగంలో కూడా సంచరిస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
He had the power to go into the very depths of
భూమిని అంతా శోధిస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
He could go anywhere.
గగన మార్గంలో సంచరిస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
He could travel in space.
ప్రతి అణువునందు కూడా పరిశోధన జరుపుతూ వచ్చాడు.
He conducted research in every atom.
సర్వ పంచభూతములు కూడా తన హస్తగతం చేసుకున్నాడు
హీ హ్యాడ్ కంప్లీట్ కంట్రోల్ ఫోర్ ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్
కానీ అంత తెలుసుకున్నప్పటికీ తనను తాను తెలుసుకోలేకపోయాడు
ఆల్దో హీ న్యూ ఆల్ దీస్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ నాలెడ్జ్ హీ డిడ్ నాట్ నో హూ హీ రియలీ వాస్
కనుకనే ఆనాటి మహర్షుల యొక్క తత్వము ఈ విధంగా కంపేర్ చేసుకోవడానికి వీలు కాదు
ది సేక్రెడ్ విజ్డమ్ ఆఫ్ దోస్ మహర్షిస్ cannot be compared to knowledge
of maharshi kudanu ye vidhamaina tapasna acharinchi entati divyamaina kudu shaktini sadhistu vacharu
each maharshi of those days achieved unachievable
I honestly had no idea Swami speaking about Hiranyakashipu but really you know what a beautiful clip that was my god and, you know Swami starts with the you know the same point where discrimination and that leads to man achieving more comforts you know they using that discrimination to make more use of the world around get more comforts and in the process you know this is again I think when talking about comforts yes. one of the first things you think of is you know relief from disease relief from pain
right.
and I think that is where probably that thought would have come is there any way you can stop aging you can stop death from occurring you can stop you can ensure that everybody who is born can live healthily and you know Swami says that there is no pattern which could be observed
no the inevitability of death
right
suddenly hits you on the face
absolutely
and you realize that we have no control over it we have right. no power
And, you know, Swami says that there's nothing like, you know, nothing guarantees a full life. You know, you might be very, very healthy and just one day you die. I think, I'm sure there must be more accidents in those days. In, you know, in ancient days when you talk of it, suddenly you're attacked by wild animals or, you know,
right.
floods. You have no protection against some of these things. That suddenness of death was so obvious and many times when you look at it I think we've spoken about this they speak about the different types of vairagya
right
and it is mentioned in our scriptures one of it is smashana vairagya you know, when you see a death
Correct.
Which happens especially when you see somebody who has lived a good life who's very healthy you know, you might have spoken to them the previous day and suddenly you realize that they know more.
Right.
It really, really hits you.
Mm.
I think all of us would have experienced that. Suddenly it hits you so hard that life is so uncertain.
Right.
And if you look at it, the sages of those days were already contemplating on these things. You know, already their intellects were so prime and were looking into some of these things. When an event like that happens,
mm-hmm.
you know, that vairagya can be capitalized,
mm-hmm.
like what Louis Pasteur would say, you know, a trained mind actually uses the events which happen around
Correct.
You, the, you know, serendipitous events which happen around you. It's almost like that.
Yes.
In our cases, vairagya comes and goes.
How many of us have seen the apple fall?
Right,
for
exactly.
example.
It hardly moves a brick in us.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, this is also, you know, reaching some kind of a climax in man's exploration where he, yes, this I'm able to understand, I'm able to comprehend, this I'm able to know, this, okay, I've seen this aspect of God, I'm able to name it, I'm able to comprehend it, but this I don't know. It is beyond me. You know, the inevitability of death and your absolute helplessness. You have no control over it. And of course, we know that famous incident where Kasturi uncle comes to Swami and says, I believe somebody in Swami's
family
right. had passed on, and he came and said, Swami, please, will you not save him? Will you not bring him back to life? And Swami said, no. Then he said, Swami, why, Swami, you should. And people in the village, you know, in the very early days, as early years, started saying, oh, if he cannot protect people from his own family, and how is he going to protect us or save us? And Swami had a hearty laugh. He said, Kasturi, if there is no birth and death, how will I pass my time? This is my time pass.
I think it's that uncertainty, you know, when you talk about pain, when you talk about anything happening to your body. Let's say that somebody, you know, goes through a disease and they kind of get paralyzed or something.
Mm-hmm.
You are there to experience the aftermath of that event. You know,
right.
so you can say that, okay, it can be managed, or no, it's very painful, or no, you can keep yourself positive.
Mm.
But this is like a veil of darkness. You don't know what's on the other side.
Right.
You have nobody coming and telling you that there is nothing to worry.
Mm.
Other than, you know, as you said, when Swami says that, oh, it's all just a play.
Mm.
The confidence with which he says it, you know, kind of gives us a little bit of sanity. But otherwise, you know, there is so much of uncertainty. You have no idea what is on the other side of this curtain of darkness.
Right.
And that is, as you said, is something which would have really boggled the minds of these early seekers. We said, yeah, these are things I can understand, but there are some things I have no clue about.
And how beautifully Swami connects that to the next part of the discourse, where he says, yes, you are alive as long as the life force is there in you. But where does the life force reside? It's not in the heart, like what we think even today. I mean, for the ancients who might not have even done the heart transplant, the example Swami gives is when the heart is removed and connected, the body is connected to heart-lung machine for any cardiac surgery. How is it that the person is still alive? Because the life force is in the Sushumna Nadi, that's in the spinal column. But imagine the intuition of our sages. Without doing a heart surgery and doing probably having a heart lung machine, and that equipment, they could visualize and they could experience that the life force is actually in the Sushumna Nadi. It's really amazing.
Really, and coming to the next part where Swami speaks about Hiranyakashipu,
yes.
I think it's the same thing. You know, when you speak about Hiranyakashipu's boon that he takes from Brahma.
Mm-hmm.
No, it should not be day, it should not be night, it should not be outside, it should not be inside,
mm-hmm.
neither on the earth nor in the sky,
mm-hmm.
not by a man, not by a human being. It is an expression, or, you know, they're trying to portray the idea of the very, very smart intelligence of human being, but mm-hmm. where even that falls short. You know, where when it comes to that, there is no way you can hoodwink it, there is no way you can escape it, and it has its own way of coming around, you know, the whole story as such. And so beautifully Swami puts these two together in this discussion.
In fact, you know, as we were discussing, the same five elements which Hiranyakashipu had conquered, his son with the name of the Lord.
Right. No, I mean, he must have done so much of penance and got that bone for whatever. You know, I should not be killed by animal or man. And here was Prahlada, a five-year-old boy. No animal could kill him. No man could kill him. No weapon could kill him.
No element could kill
no
him.
No elements could kill him.
Right.
It really must have left his father in a quandary.
That's true.
Right. So we'll go to the next clip in that discourse.
ఈనాటి డాక్టర్ సుందర కూడాను శస్త్రచికిత్సలు ఆపరేషన్ జరుపుతూ వచ్చారు.
దే కండక్టెడ్ సర్జరీ ఆల్సో.
ఎన్ని రకమైనటువంటి ట్రైనింగ్లు చేసుకోను, ఎన్ని రకమైనటువంటి దేశాలకు వెళ్ళు, ఎన్ని రకమైనటువంటి ఆపరేషన్లు జరిగో, ఈనాటికి వాళ్ళు పెద్ద పెద్ద డాక్టర్స్ గా తయారైపోతున్నారు.
టుడేస్ డాక్టర్స్ ఆఫ్టర్ డూయింగ్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ రీసెర్చ్ గోయింగ్ టు సో మెనీ కంట్రీస్ ఆర్ అచీవింగ్ ఎ లిటిల్
ఎన్ని రకమైనటువంటి ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్స్ ను తీసుకుంటూ వచ్చారు.
They have developed different types of
instruments. Kani, Anati, Vaidya Shakalandu, ee chatta sikichalopala maha pravinu ainatundi vaadu.
In the ancient days, there was one
Bharadwaja Maharshi. Bharadwaja Maharshi, ee chatta sikichanu chakkaga sulabhanga tanu prapanchaniki andistu vachadu.
Bharadwaja Maharshi was the one who offered the knowledge of surgery. What type of knowledge did he have?
దీనిని ఆయుర్వేదము అని చెప్పుకుంటూ వచ్చారు.
దిస్ హెస్ బీన్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ యాజ్ ఆయుర్వేద.
అనగా ఏమిటి ఆయు ప్లస్ వేదము, ఆయుర్వేదము అని. ఆయువును అందించేటువంటి వేదం ఇది ఆయుర్వేదం.
దిస్ ఆయుర్వేద ఈజ్ వన్ విచ్ ఆఫర్స్ లైఫ్ టు మ్యాన్.
అయితే ఇది మనకు బిగ్గా పని చేయటం లేదు అని మనం కొంతవరకు దాన్ని తొందరపడుతున్నాం.
వి థింక్ దట్ దిస్ ఆయుర్వేద డస్ నాట్ గివ్ క్విక్ రిజల్ట్స్, దేర్ఫోర్ వి ఆర్ ఇన్ గ్రేట్ కేస్.
ప్రతిదానికి క్విక్ రిజల్ట్స్ కావాలి.
వి ఆర్ ఆఫ్టర్ గెటింగ్ క్విక్ రిజల్ట్స్ ఫర్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్.
క్విక్ రిజల్ట్ అనేటువంటి దాంట్లో కూడా క్విక్ దానికి విరుద్ధం కూడా ఉంటుంటాయి.
వేర్ యూ కెన్ గెట్ క్విక్ రిజల్ట్స్, యూ కెన్ గెట్ ది ఆపోజిట్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ఎ క్విక్ వే ఆల్సో.
ఈనాడు యాంటీబయాటిక్స్ వచ్చేసేసినాయి మాత్రలు.
Take for example antibiotics of
quick research. Temperature ఉండాలంటే 2 డ్రాప్స్ చేస్తారు దక్షిణ ముఖం జారిపోతుంది టెంపరేచర్.
By using antibiotics you can reduce the fever immediately.
కానీ తగ్గిపోతుంటుంది టెంపరేచర్, కానీ తర్వాత మరీ ఎక్కువ పెరుగుతుంటుంది.
Of course the temperature falls immediately.
దీని యొక్క రియాక్షన్ అధికంగా మారుతుంటున్నాయి.
But there are reactions for this medicine.
కానీ ఆనాటి యొక్క తపశక్తి అనేటువంటి ఒక దీంట్లో ఈ రియాక్షన్ రీసౌండ్ అండ్ రిఫ్లెక్షన్ ఏమాత్రం కూడా ఉండదు.
బట్ ఇన్ ది పవర్ ఆఫ్ బెలన్స్ విచ్ ది ఏన్షియంట్ వన్స్ హ్యాడ్
తపశక్తి వల్ల జరిగినటువంటిది.
ఆల్ దేర్ అచీవ్మెంట్స్ ఆర్ బేస్డ్ అపాన్
8000 మైళ్ళ దూరంలో ఉంటుంది తపస్సు చేస్తున్నప్పటికీ వారికి దూరదర్శనము దాన్ని ప్రాప్తించినటువంటిది.
దే కుడ్ టేక్ ఎ విజన్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ అవే థౌజండ్స్ ఆఫ్ మైల్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ద ప్లేస్ బై వర్చ్యూ ఆఫ్
ప్రకృతితో వారు ముఖాముఖిగా సంభాషణ జరిపేటువంటి వారు.
They could converse with people thousands of miles away directly.
ఈనాడు దూరదర్శనమని దూరశ్రవణమని అనేక యంత్రాలు కల్పించి కోట్లకు కోట్లనంతా కూడా ఖర్చు పెట్టి దీన్ని మనం ఈనాడు అనుభవిస్తున్నాం.
Today, whatever we are enjoying by way of communicating and seeing people for far off distances, those days, not even a five was spent.
మనస్సును పవిత్రమైనటువంటి దివ్యత్వంగా మార్చుకోవటం చేతని ఇంత శక్తులంతా వాళ్ళకి చేకూరుతూ వచ్చాయి.
దే కుడ్ కమాండ్ ఆల్ ది పవర్స్ బై ప్యూరిఫైయింగ్ దర్ ఓన్ మైండ్ అండ్ విజన్.
కనుక విద్యార్థులారా, మానవుడు క్రమక్రమేణ మొదటి స్థాయి నుండి ఎంతవరకు ఎట్లా పెరుగుతూ వచ్చాడు అనేటువంటి విషయాన్ని మనం చక్కగా విచారణ చేయాలి.
యువర్ స్టూడెంట్స్ విల్ హావ్ టు ఎన్క్వైర్ అండ్ లుక్ ఇన్ టు హౌ మ్యాన్స్ ఎవల్యూషన్ హస్ టేకన్ ప్లేస్.
పుట్టిన తక్షణమే ఎవరు పండితుడు కాదు, విద్యావంతుడు కాదు.
By birth itself, no one can become a scholar or a knowledgeable person.
Kramakramina mana yokka shraddha bhaktulu chetane manam intati unna sthayiki pothunnam.
Gradually, with the passage of time, we achieve many things in life.
Okka BA, MBA anetuvanti rendu aksharala degree kosam entano manam shrama padutunnam.
For getting one degree, BA or MA, how much of effort do we put in?
Divyattamainatuvanti daivattaniki manam enta shrama padutunnam.
For the sake of obtaining divinity, what effort
ఆ పవిత్రమైన గ్రేస్ కోసం మనం ఏమి దారపోస్తున్నాం?
ఫర్ అర్నింగ్ దట్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ వాట్ ఈస్ ది ఎఫర్ట్ దట్ యు
ఏమీ లేదు.
nothing at all.
కాని దానికి తగినటువంటి కృషి చెయ్యాలి.
We have to make efforts proportionate to that.
సాధనమైన పనులు సమకూరు ధరలోన.
By practice alone, man can
మనకు తెలియదు తెలియదని మనం విసర్జించకూడదు.
We should not give up telling, I do not know.
తెలియని దానినే మనం సాధించడానికి ప్రయత్నించాలి.
We have to make efforts to know what we do.
అదే ఆనాటి మహర్షులు చేసినటువంటి ఒక సాధన.
That is the
వాళ్ళు తెలియనటువంటి దానిని సాధించాలి సాధించాలని అనేక విధమైనటువంటి కష్టములకు నష్టములకు దుఃఖములకు వాదలకు ఎండలకు అన్ని విధమైనటువంటి దీంతో సహించి భరించి దానిని తట్టుకుని నెట్టుకుని సాధిస్తూ వచ్చారు.
మహర్షిస్ ఆఫ్ ది ఏన్షియంట్ డేస్ డిడ్ నాట్ కేర్ ఫర్ ఎనీ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ విచ్ దే హడ్ టు ఫేస్. దే ఫేస్డ్ ఆల్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ అండ్ అచీవ్ సక్సెస్.
ఈనాడు మనం ఏ ప్రయత్నం చేసినా కానీ మొట్ట మనం సుఖంగా ఉంటుండే ప్రయత్నం జరగాలి. కించిత్ కష్టం మనకు అడ్డు రాకూడదు.
Whatever effort we do not want to face even the slightest difficulty. Everything should go smoothly.
Sukhavantudu ee okka deenini sadhinchaledu.
In happiness and joy, man
sadhinchalaneetundi okka saddha kaligittadu sukhanni koradaniki veelledu.
A man who wants to really achieve should never aspire to have only happiness and joy.
Manaku sarvamlo tyagam chesi daivaniki manam arpitam kavali.
Sacrifice everything. Offer yourself entirely.
అతీతమైన విద్యలన్నీ కూడా మనకు ప్రాప్తిస్తాయి.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ యూ కెన్ గెట్ దోస్ ఎక్స్ట్రాడినరీ పవర్స్.
ఎన్ని విద్యలను అభ్యసించినప్పటికీ ఎన్ని శక్తులు సాధించినప్పటికీ ఆనాటి మహర్షులు ఎందు కించిత్తైన కూడా అహంకారం అనేటువంటి ఎక్కడా కనిపించేటువంటిది కాదు.
ఇన్ స్పైట్ ఆఫ్ ది స్టూపెండస్ అచీవ్మెంట్స్ అండ్ విక్టరీ అచీవ్డ్ బై ది ఏన్షియంట్ మహర్షీస్ దే డిడ్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ అరోగెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది
ఈనాటి సైంటిస్టులు ఎందుకు కానీ ఇంకా పరిశోధన శాస్త్రజ్ఞులు ఎందుకు కానీ కించిత్ మాత్రం కొంచెం సాధించినామంటే ఇంకా వాడిని పట్టడానికి వీలు లేదు.
టేక్ ది రీసెర్చర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది సైంటిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ టుడే. ఇఫ్ హీ అచీవ్స్ ఈవెన్ ది స్లైటెస్ట్ థింగ్, వెల్ నో వన్ కెన్ హోల్డ్ హిమ్ బ్యాక్.
ఈ అహంకారంతో తల కూడా ఎగిరిపోతూ ఉంటాయి.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్సెసివ్ జాయ్
నిజముగా విద్యావంతునికి అహంకారం అనేది అక్కడ ఉండడానికి వీలు లేదు.
ఏ ట్రూలీ ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్ పర్సన్ would never suffer from ego or arrogance.
Kaluka vidyarthulu yendu ahankaram e matram kodunu vidrimbicharadu.
Students should never have ego or arrogance.
Viniyame vidya yokka pradhana lakshanamu annaru.
The most outstanding characteristic of education is humility.
Ee naadu manu sadhinchindi yokka science emiti?
What is the achievement of science today?
E matramu manu sadhinchaledu inka.
We have not really achieved many things.
Edo mana buddhulu yokka kolthanu paruskarinchukoni సాధించామని అనుకుంటున్నాము.
ఇమాజిన్ దట్ వీ హావ్ అచీవ్డ్ ట్రెమెండస్ థింగ్స్.
ఒక చిన్న ఉదాహరణము,
వన్ స్మాల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్.
సూర్యునిలో ఉండినటువంటి ఒక ఎనర్జీ,
ది ఎనర్జీ దట్ ఈస్ ఇన్హరెంట్ ఇన్ సన్,
3000 భాగము లోపల ఒక రెండింటిని మాత్రమే ఈనాడు సైంటిస్టులు అనుభవిస్తున్నారు ప్రపంచమంతా చేరి.
ది ఎంటైర్ సైంటిస్ట్ అండ్ ది ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్ ఈజ్ హ్యావింగ్ ఓన్లీ 2 divisions ఆఫ్ 3000 powers which sun has.
2998
there is the power which is equal to 2998 which is not used at all.
Endu matrame anubhavistunnam inka.
Only two parts are being used.
Ee rendintitone inta shakti prapanchamundu vyapinchi undinappudu inka ee 3000 energy shaktini anta upayogiste prapancham enta deedipyamananga veligetuntido.
If only we can harness the power of the sun in the to the extent of 2998, how much of prosperity can we achieve?
That was the probably the last discourse clip we'll be playing today. But again, very beautiful. Not enough number of words to describe this entire discourse. So beautifully structured, and the flow is so wonderful. Swami starts again talking about the achievements of the sages, right, as you said, but in this time in the field of medicine.
Correct.
And talks about sage Bharadwaja.
Mm.
Very interesting, you know. I mean, Bharadwaja, as we know, the story is related by Swami.
Yes.
He himself suffers the paralysis on one side.
Correct.
Now, as we were saying, that, you know, many of these sages probably would have studied their and explored their science on themselves.
Right. And, you know, Swami makes this beautiful point about quick results. And Ayurveda, this is a beautiful explanation of Ayurveda. Ayur is life,
life.
To extend the life. And we want instant results and instant, you know, in a sense, a slight tangent from here.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, it just points out again to this eternal question of means versus ends. Okay, you want quick results. So at any cost, I'm trying to get that, but then it's not lasting. I mean, you so also in every field of life, you want a quick result, you want quick success. You might get it, but it is not the hard earned way, and so it's not going to last. So even in this, the means are as important as the ends. So today's approach, possibly to medicine, is looking only at the ends. I want an instant result. I want instant cure. So let me do anything to get the instant cure. In fact, going a little bit more scientific on this, the way painkillers actually work in the human body, you know, the nerve transmitters and the nerve sensors are blocked by this medicine. So when you take a painkiller, it goes and sits on the nerve ending. And it does not allow the pain to go to the brain. And it does not allow the brain to interpret it as pain. So it's such a temporary relief. That so you are actually, in a way, fooling the system. So what happens is, when you are trying to achieve something, in a way, this is what Swami is saying. The ancient sages approached it with humility. And they approached it in the long drawn way, where they found the means is as important as the ends. You know, that humility, the way they approach, the attitude, the feeling of surrender to the Lord, that means is what is ultimately going to take you to the end.
And in this context of medicine itself, you know, the ability to look at symptoms in the right sense, you know, that's very, very important. I mean, even in allopathy, even in
diagnosis,
modern medicine, yeah, diagnosis is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's precisely is the idea the sages spoke about. You know, when you have a problem, when you have a pain, when you have a fever,
mm-hmm.
you can you know, make it subside, you can treat it. But the idea is that if a problem like this is showing up, there must be some inherent problem
exactly.
which seeks attention.
Right.
And I think Ayurveda definitely, you know, always tries to look at that. And that's why their diagnosis is so different. You know, some
right.
stomach problem might have something related to the head.
Yeah.
Or, you know, sometimes you will have a headache which will be related to something with the blood.
Yes.
And the ability to go beyond just the symptom and just not let the symptom, you know, treat the symptom and forget what's the cause.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what, it's a classic example of how spiritualists approached it, at the same time how purely a material approach, a scientific, using your mind, how that has approached and how using the heart. I mean, it all goes in layers, but the concept is the same.
And I think when Swami speaks about devotion and Shraddha and all that, it must have played a very important role in such explorations.
Right.
You know, probably a sage mm-hmm. who thinks that this has been created by God, who is like supreme wisdom.
Mm.
There will not be anything without a purpose. You know, if there is a pain, if there is a disease,
mm-hmm.
if something has been created, there must be a purpose behind it. And unless we kind of try to understand that, there is no point in trying to solve these small problems. I think that exploration would have led them to unravel some of these things. In fact, I was talking to one of my classmates once. You know, there is this appendix in the human body,
right.
which is called a vestigial organ.
Yes.
You know, we have always studied it as a vestigial organ, you know,
correct.
From our school days.
Mm.
And we were having this discussion, see, look, if God has put it there, there might be some purpose for it.
Some reason.
You know, there can't be, there can be nothing in the human body which is useless.
Mm.
You and I might not have understood what is the use behind it, but it cannot be useless. And I was really surprised to read about a few months back.
Okay.
Some of the scientists have now coming to the understanding
mm-hmm.
that appendix is a very important place where some of these important bacteria in the body go and breed there. lot of the human body's activity does not happen there, so it's a very good place for them to go and culture their growth.
My goodness.
So you're saying it's very, very important. That's why, you know, when it is removed after you have inflammation in the appendix and it's removed, you are more vulnerable to some of these digestive system related diseases.
That's what there is.
Nothing is useless.
There's definitely a reason for it.
And I think then you will start looking at pain with a different eye altogether. You won't look at it as a pain, first of all. You know? Otherwise, you say, oh God, this is a pain. You would say that this is a signal for something. Let's see what it is.
And you know, here there is this beautiful point where Swami says, do not shun troubles. And he says, see, hard work is inevitable. Nobody is born a great scholar. Nobody is born with all knowledge in himself. And where do we divert our energies? Are we diverting our energies? Most of us are getting BA and MA, that's what Swami says, for worldly education as we call it. But here is a subtle point. The sages, see, suppose I'm studying biology. That's worldly education as far as I'm concerned. But the sages studied the same biology with an attitude of surrender. So it's not what you study that is important. It's the attitude with which you study, which is, I think, very important. And since the sages studied, approached the subject with that level of surrender and devotion to the Lord, he revealed more secrets to them. You know, it's like a blessing.
Right. I mean, if you look at it, on one hand, we have this quotation, you know, we say knowledge is power. So if you see, all of these revelations are a very, very strong body of power, actually. You know, they're being given to an individual. And power is always given to somebody whom we trust power with.
Right.
I mean, you can't give it to somebody who's indiscriminate. That's the biggest disaster. We see it so much around. So when you see that these sages have received that kind of immense power,
right,
I think they've qualified themselves, or they, you know, through their process, through their humility, they qualified themselves to say that, yeah, power in these people's hands will never be misused.
Right.
This knowledge can be given to them. And that's why, you know, Swami, even in the first discourse, he said, you know, the biggest mistake we're doing is separating worldly education from secular education. All the problem starts there.
In fact, at the cost of repeating it, I think at least the third or fourth time, I'm not sure, in this same series. But it just comes to my mind again, because when, you know, after I completed my education, when I told Swami, Swami, I want to stay with you. Swami said, you wanted to do some MBBS, what happened? Then, you know, for a moment I paused and I said, Swami, I am ready to study anything in order to stay with you. That was my answer. And mentally I thought, now see, that's a good answer. You know, Swami just gave a beautiful smile and instantly he said, Swami to undatanki chadu avasrama. He said, do you need your education and your studies to stay with me? Such a profound and beautiful statement. What we need at the same time, now suppose for example, Swami has started this educational institution, he has put the teachers there. One person cannot become a teacher in his institution unless he is qualified himself with a PhD or with whatever, with the acquired knowledge, required knowledge. At the same time, the attitude in which he takes the subject, that is what will take him closer to the Lord. You know, Swami has started this education institution, but if you are purely in pursuit of that knowledge without the attitude of connecting it to the Lord. That's why that, you know, Vyashti, Samashti, Srishti, Parameshti. You study nature knowing that the Lord is there in the background of that.
Right. And, you know, again, Swami speaks at this point about the communication of the sages. I think it's a very subtle hint that Swami is saying that, you know, don't dismiss these as powers and magic.
Okay.
I think that's what we generally do, you know, when you speak about sages like Vasishtha, Valmiki, they appeared there, they appeared here, they traveled to this loka, that loka. We kind of resign to the idea that, you know, that's magic.
Which that's mythological.
Either magic. Swami is saying it's advanced science.
Right.
You know, the moment you think of it as advanced science, Swami is saying that it can be achieved.
It's stunning.
And don't stop reveling at your, you know, your radio and your TV. You know, that's the thought which came to my mind. You know, sitting here and, oh, dear listeners, we are speaking to you from across the globe and you're listening to us live from Prashanthi Nilayam. So we're saying, this is nothing what your signs
this
you've done.
This is old stuff for me.
You know, really, when Swami came and, you know, sat here and kind of inaugurated the studio, that's what he must have been thinking.
You know, on a very different note, I remember in the year 2003 or 2004, I'm not able to exactly place it, for one of the convocation dramas, they decided to use wireless microphones.
Okay, right. I think, yeah, I remember that.
Maybe 2002, I'm not clear.
Right.
So, somebody had offered a nice wireless set of microphones and there was a lot of excitement, and so Swami had given it to the boys and said, wear it, let me see how it works and all that. And so here is, somebody pins it and there's a wireless transmitter, and one of the boys was very excited. He said, Swami, this is how it is, Swami, if you clip it here, this, that. And he was, you know, a little bit more, he was almost showing and explaining to Swami. Then Swami looked at him and Swami said, 20 years back I gave similar kind of clips to your hostel, they have not used it properly.
Oh.
And it is true, because Swami actually gave a set of very advanced microphones 20 years back. And comparing that to this, Swami is saying, okay, you are happy with your technology today, but the ancient sages had much better stuff.
Just reminded of what Brother Satyajit has shared many times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He says in those days, when Swami would give a discourse, he would go backstage with Swami, and he had borrowed a Walkman from one of the teachers.
Okay.
I think it's Ramon Rao sir, or somebody had taken it from one of the school teachers. And that day, I think in between, when unexpectedly Swami went into the green room, he had to follow Swami behind. So he didn't have the time to give this Walkman to somebody or something like that. So he put it in his pocket and he went in. And Swami saw the bulge. That, hey, what is that? He said. So he pulled it out and he said, Swami, this is... Swami said, what is that? I think it's some funny brand, was written Japanese brand or something. Swami said, what is that? And so he opened it and he said, Swami, this cassettes, this is a portable, tape player. You can put it here. You can listen with headphones and all that. Swami said, from whom you got it? So he said, Swami, I borrowed it. I listened to Swami's discourses and all that. And Swami said, why are you taking from everybody? If you ask me, I'll give, no? So he kept quiet. In the next minute, you know, Swami waves his hand and materializes a Walkman.
Wow.
And he said, what is this? Just a minute ago, I was explaining to Swami how a Walkman works. You know, I was telling him that this is the technology and this is how it is. And, you know, you put a tape like this. And the next minute, you know, Swami waves his hand and produces. I mean, of course, it's not no surprise, but the way Swami orchestrated that entire incident is so beautiful.
Mm.
And you think of it, you know, when Swami came here, I remember listening to it so many times. Gopal Srinivasan goes up to Swami and says, Swami, when Swami gives a discourse here, at the same time it will be heard in Germany, it will be heard in Russia. And Swami will think, beautiful.
Swami would say, the power of mantra is much more than the power of yantra. Right. So, you know, technology today, we are so proud of it. As Swami says, scientists, they have not even explored a little bit and they are so proud about it. That point about humility is so beautiful.
Right.
So that you know, that qualifies and that actually defines the attitude with which they approached.
Right. And just talking about the radio, just not able to resist relate that. Before we started the Shravana Mandam, we used to do the children's hour.
Yes.
You know, that time we came across this very interesting incident which happened. You know, we had played a children's story, a very famous Chinnakatha, which Swami would relate about how a boy is going to school. He has to go through a forest. He doesn't have anybody. So mother tells him, you call out to Gopala, he'll come. So he calls out and this boy comes and it apparently happens to be Krishna, and that entire beautiful Chinnakatha we narrated.
Right.
And promptly a few days later we get a mail from a 7-year-old kid.
Okay,
from the US.
Mm-hmm.
He says, oh, I like that story so much. I like your children's hour so much. And he said, but I have 3 questions.
Okay.
And this boy lists out. First question. He says, I go to school by bus. Can I still call Gopala? Will he come? Okay. And the second thing is, nowhere near my house there is a forest. Why do I go and call out to Krishna? And he says, third thing is, in that story, that boy did not have any brothers and sisters. But I have a brother already, an elder brother who, you know, sometimes bullies me. Can I still call out to Krishna? So what do you answer this kid?
I mean,
you know, here we are, we're thinking, we're connecting people to Prashant Nilayam, we are taking Swami's message to the world. How do you answer a child like this with so much of purity and innocence he's asking? We are no, I mean, I literally, we, myself and Ganesh, who used to do show, we said, Swami, only you can answer this.
Right.
We have no answers to this child. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, this same 7-year-old kid writes to us. And, you know, he says, I went for my summer vacation. I went to Delhi and one night Swami came in my dream.
Okay.
And he was so surprised. You know, he's never seen Swami in his life. He was so surprised. He said, oh, Swami, you come. And Swami told him, hey, you asked those three questions, no? To reduce my voice. No, I've come to answer them.
Wonderful.
Okay. And this boy is saying, Swami, how do you know?
So sweet.
I asked those brothers, and how do you know? Swami said, yeah, yeah, you ask them. Those boys don't know the answer. So they said, Swami, only you can answer them. So I've come to answer you.
Wow.
Until today, we don't know what the answers are. This boy just wrote to tell us that I've got my answers.
You know, actually speaking, in this very place, in this studio, when the studio started, Swami made this statement. He said, I have nothing to lose or gain from the work that you are going to do.
Right.
If it gives you happiness, if it gives you growth, you do it. That's all it is.
All
Swami is doing his work. He's reaching out to everybody in his own way. We are just bettering ourselves by doing this.
And when Swami says here that, you know, well, the more you achieve, the more humble you should be.
Right.
When things like this happen, how can you not feel humble?
Exactly.
You know, it's like a real bang on the head that says that, you know,
I am the one who is doing it.
I am the doer. Really.
Right.
There's no amount of words we can use to express our gratitude to Swami for that. So dear listeners, that should indeed conclude this week's program, because the time's up. In a short while from now, Bishu will join you with the last program, last segment of the day. Thank you for being with us. On behalf of Prakash, on behalf of myself, we offer this program at Swami's Lotus Feet. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.